Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Crowd goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed. I am your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me as always, the very lovely and charming Diane Brierley, and of course, the amazing Ross Allen Skorshevsky. Engineering the show as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at ask@markgunger.com. Here's how the show works. You can send us a question about anything and remain totally anonymous. We, in turn, then are brutally honest. This is the show of brutal honesty. We don't care about your feelings in any way, shape, or form. If that's not for you, turn us off and watch our Gilligan Islands rerun or something else. If we like what you say, we'll celebrate it. If we can be helpful, we'll be helpful. If we think you're crazy, we will tell you. And you get three possible responses. One is a swirly. This is when you stick your head in a toilet and you flush it. Hopefully the water spitting around your head will snap you out of your stupidity. If you're really irritating us, we'll give you the go button. Because we think you're really crazy. And if you're just blathering on too much and not thinking, you get the chicken button. So that's what your possible opportunities are. We shall see if we get any of those today. What have you got for today?
Okay, starting out with a little study that they did. You talk about women being too available and making themselves too easy. Mm-hmm. Well, the new study proves that playing hard to get actually works.
Once again, I've been proven right.
You have been.
Hallelujah.
College-age men and women who played hard to get ended up with higher quality partners, it says. And that both men and women can play hard to get. But it's different the way that it looks. Women broadcast their interest and then make themselves unavailable, while men will appear available and then pretend not to be interested.
Interesting.
Women usually play hard to get far more than men do.
Did you say that right? So if a woman plays hard to get, she's bound to get a more of a high-quality individual?
Oh, gosh. That didn't escape you, did
Leslie?
It?
Leslie? Yes. You heard it here today.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, these girls, they are so available. Then they went, oh, why won't he pay attention to me? Because you're so easy. Yeah. Good grief. Best advice. The most sexy thing to any man in the world is the word no. Which you, having sex with him, mm-hmm. doesn't put you in the unavailable category. Girls do the exact opposite. They give themselves freely. They give everything, their bodies, everything, trying to win a guy, and they don't get him because they're going the wrong direction. Being easy is not how you get a guy. Certainly not a quality guy.
Yeah, no,
that's right.
You get higher quality guys. You can get any old schlub out there that you want.
Want to marry a schlub? Easy. Just go have sex with him. You'll get a schlub. Mm-hmm. You want a high quality guy? Learn to say no. Play a little hard to get and
for
see what happens.
At least a year.
Yeah.
Oh, seriously. I mean, these
to
guys.
To test the guys out.
I feel
it
like
says
that's
to test
what it
them
was.
Out.
I asked forever and ever just to be a friend. I asked just to be nice. And all I got was no, no, no. Just a cup of coffee. No, no, no. Just believe that I exist as a human being. No, no, no. And you know it's true.
I know it was.
I was pond scum.
I would say your first response is probably the right one. Anyway, so girls, a little sense, huh? Particularly the women. You know, I had this one girl work for me once, and she said, oh, I don't know. He doesn't want to marry us. She's whining and crying. I said, let me ask you a question. If he wants to go anywhere, will you go with him? Yeah. If he calls you at the last minute and says, you want to go over to someone's house, will you go? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I said, that's your problem. She said, what do you mean?
You're too easy.
I said, you're too easy. The next time he wants to go out, you tell him, you're busy. Tell him you got to go wash your goldfish mm-hmm. or something. And she looked at me just horrified. I said, I'm telling you, do it. So she did it. 2 weeks later, she comes and goes, oh my gosh, you won't leave me alone. And a little bit after that, she had a ring on her finger. is when you play easy, you're of no value, for heaven's sakes.
And that's right. How Diane Brierley acquired her fifth husband. I'm kidding.
What? Oh.
We'd love to torment her. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with your emails right after this.
Sign up for Mark's newsletter for your chance to win a Kindle Fire. Visit laughyourway.com.
This program of The Mark Gunger Show is being brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of audiobooks with over 100,000 titles. Great opportunity to learn by listening. A lot of people don't have time to read, but you do have time to listen. People stuck in cars, jogging, listening to their iPods and stuff. Here's a chance for you to get some information the easy way. Audible has a special offer for Mark Gunger Show listeners. If you go to audiblepodcast.com/Gunger, you can get a free download, any book in their entire library. Download it for free, listen to it, try it out. You'll also get a 30-day free trial. So just go to audiblepodcast.com/Gunger and try it out and see how it works for you. I think you'll really find it works out great. So audiblepodcast.com/Gunger, do it today.
Doctor, doctor, can we talk about my case? Doctor, doctor, can we talk about my case? Condition.
We are back on the Mark Gunger Show. Listen to the music of Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. We're answering your emails about love, marriage, and relationships. What have you got?
Okay, starting out with a little thank you. I think you'll really like this one, okay? He says, "Dear Mark and crew, my wife and I greatly enjoy your show, have your DVDs and book, and even held an event at our house trying to educate the married couples in our church."
Cool.
All that being said, I want to share this with you. The other night, my wife and I were in bed, and I did the normal, hey, baby, routine, and said something romantic, I think sarcastically romantic, you say, that really didn't get the fires going in our room, and thus ended up with me going to sleep frustrated and feeling a bit rejected. Hey, baby, you awake doesn't work, I guess. The next morning, as my wife is leaving for work, she walks out of the bedroom and hands me your book. In it is a piece of paper with page numbers on it and a note that said, "Read this." She looks at me and says, "I know you're frustrated and I don't know what to say to you." And that's all she said and walked away. I opened the book and it was the chapter on the keys to great sex. Throughout the chapter, there were sections highlighted in yellow highlighter, obviously trying to bring my attention to the sections such as climbing the palm tree versus getting in the cherry picker and just grabbing the fruit. After reading this, I was pretty ticked off and threw your book down and thought, I work, I bring home the check, I help with the kids, I cook, I do the dishes. Why should I have to do all of this? She should be thankful she has me. After being upset for a while, I took my big boy pill and came to the realization that I am an idiot. I yelled at myself, she just told you how to win with her. Climb the palm tree, take the time. I thought I was doing enough, sure, around the house, but I wasn't doing anything to focus on paying attention to her. Mm-hmm. So I decided to do what you suggested and climb the palm tree. I have to say, thank you, Pastor Mark. God bless you. And thanks for putting this in a way that helped my wife explain it to me. I have not had so much fun with my wife in a long time. Thanks for helping her explain to her dense husband how I can win with her. I have every intention to work on my climbing muscles from now on, taking time to climb the palm tree.
If you don't know what we're talking about, get my book, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. Anyway, all right, cool.
Okay, first question here is a dating question. She says, I'm 29 years old, single, a new believer in Christianity. Been dating a Christian man who is also 29 for 2 years now they've been dating. It was long distance, but I moved, and now we only live 30 minutes away. He works 6 days a week, is an active father to his daughter who lives with him. He apparently had the child out of wedlock, I guess. Okay. Yes. My relationship with him was not planned. We were initially just friends, but the feelings grew, so we began dating, expressed our love for each other. Now that we're living physically closer together, not so far away, I expected to see him more, but due to his work schedule, we have not. He has been incarcerated in the past. Fortunately, he has grown to be a great, humble, and healthy man who actually introduced me to Christianity. Right. Showed me through his life that he is where he wants to be now and all of that. She says, I'm trying after 2 years to be patient, but I find myself sad and no longer receiving the frequent phone calls and text messages that I got used to. It's been 2 years. I haven't met his family nor his daughter. I've communicated my thoughts before. He assures me he still loves me and cares for me, but he's just busy. She wants to know, am I being too patient? Or am I being a fool? Do you think I'm being played? He has a very dark, unhealthy past. I wonder if he'll ever let me into his life. I don't want to be one of these women who commits themselves to one man and they date for 10 years and they're still not married.
You're already doing that, you goofball.
Yeah. I think that this, she says, he has expressed to me he would love to marry and have children, but he also believes we are at the end of days and hence does not want to bring another child into the world. And this is kind of funny. She says, I'm a Gemini, so I am often stuck in these places where I cannot make up my mind on what it is I'm supposed to do with this relationship.
I'm a Gemini.
Your thoughts, Mr. Gunger?
Okay, first of all, drop the Gemini stuff. You're a Christian. Now, you're a new Christian, so I'll cut you some slack. But Christians do not key off of astrological signs, okay? That's a no-no for Christians. So stop with the Gemini nonsense or any other weird stargazing boogie-woogie nonsense, all right? Number two, get a clue, girl. You know, you're dating for 2 years. You haven't even met his own daughter. Dump him. For heaven's sakes, here's what you need. You need to go up. You need to get on your knees, not to pray, but just to get up next to the toilet, stick your head in the water, and pull the thing and flush and give yourself a swirly. For heaven's sake. She's the first swirly of the day.
You've been on a roll with the swirlies, man.
Stop knocking.
They're deserved.
Snap out of it. Good. Have you no self-respect? 2 years you've been dating this guy. He hasn't introduced you to anybody in his life. Get rid of him. You're 29 and probably still drop-dead gorgeous. You want to stay in a good situation and where you can find someone who really does care about you until you're 69 and the flower has withered. It'll be a lot harder. Yeah. So move on with your life. And listen to me, you silly goose. You girls, what does it matter with you? You date a guy for a year. If after 1 year he doesn't stick a ring on your finger, you dump him and you move on. You guys, letting him date for 10, 12, 14 years. Good grief, 5 years, 7 years,
day.
3 years.
I know, he loves me. He'll commit to me one day.
What a bunch of weirdos. What's the matter with people? 29 years old, 2 years a day. What, you going to wait 3 years? You going to wait 4 years? You going to wait 5 years? 1 year, no ring, you dump him. Very simple. And you move on. That's how you find guys who are really serious. Mm-hmm. Anyway, swirly for her. And a goat. Just ticks me off. She's been goated. Okay.
Okay, this next one is interesting. She says, my husband and I got married later in life. I was 39, he was 36. Mm-hmm. It was both first marriage for both of them. I've come to the realization that we both tend to act like roommates. Not in the worldly sense, but in an operation sense. My stuff, my responsibility, your stuff, your responsibility. So I've decided to start regarding this as our stuff, not mine or his. Mm-hmm. Our house, our children, our car, whatever. Mm-hmm. She said, but I wonder, do people who get married young do this?
No.
Couples who've never had roommates lived on their own, do they apply the mine yours stuff?
No, they don't. They don't. That's your problem with you people. You all wait so long. Everybody's waiting so long to get married now. And then you get married and it's really hard to connect because you've been single for so long.
I mean,
and when you get married, this is what happens. It's my money. It's my job. Here's my checking account. Here's my stuff. That's my car. And then you wonder why you can't connect. When you get married young, you don't think like, I'm telling you, you don't think like
that.
No,
I know you don't, because you haven't had the opportunity to have all of your own stuff in your own space.
No, you do. It's ours. Everything's ours. You're building life together. My advice, get married young. The younger you do it, the smarter you're going to be, the easier it'll be to connect. Oh, life will be hard, but life's hard anyway. People say, oh, it's going to be hard to be married. As if being single is easy.
No.
If you're broke married and broke single, what's the difference? You're broke either way. Yeah. People are crazy.
I don't
know. Go ahead and wait till you're 40 to get married. You're half dead, for heaven's sakes. How long do these people think we're going to live?
A long time, apparently.
You're 40 years old. You're just not getting married. Physically, literally, you're half dead. Most people die around 80.
Yeah.
You're half dead. Not to mention that you have way past your sexual peak, which happens at about 18. So the best sex of your life, you will never experience. All you guys waiting in your 30s, 40s, you will never. Ha ha! I'll make you really depressed. I'll never experience what you could have experienced. For heaven's sakes, now you're 40. Then they went, sex isn't that big a deal. They can't really connect. Mm-hmm. They're having a hard time. They're miserable with you. These are the people who get married, and in 2 months, they're in hell. Mm-hmm. I'm talking Christians. They're in hell, miserable with each other. And there's nothing you can do about it. Shame on your pastors and all everybody else in the culture who's bought into this nonsense about waiting so long to get married. Think you're going to make it easy. It doesn't make it easier. You have all been fed a lie. All y'all, listen to me. All you people waiting for so long to get married, you've been fed a lie that doesn't work. Better to marry young, build a life together. Well, some people get divorced, but people get divorced at all ages, for heaven's sakes. But the people who get married young, they don't have these problems. They connect with each other. They build a life together. You know, it's like talking to a brick wall. You know, it's going to be so much easier when they wait. If it's so much easier when they wait, how come they're also miserable when they get married at a later life? And it's my car, and it's my money, and it's my checking book, and your stuff, and my stuff.
And it's
sex,
really
and
hard.
Sex doesn't seem to be that big of a deal to them.
No.
You guys, look, I love some of you can't, I'm not trying to depress, some of you can't find anybody until you're 93. Okay, God bless you. But that's not the problem. These people, as part of the culture, everyone's waiting as
they're
long.
They're intentionally doing it.
They are intentionally waiting as long, thinking that somehow magic happens, and it'll be easier to get married when you wait later. And in fact, it is not. You've been lied to. You guys have been lied to. And hopefully some of y'all start snapping out of it. All the ridiculous
stuff. You got to take a break?
Yeah, we'll take a break. And they'll come back with Ross's brilliant insight right after this.
Mark Gunger. Yeah, we've got an app for that. Download your free Mark Gunger app today.
She's always the perfect lady. Always she's my baby. She looks at me and it's plain to see. She's the one makes me weak in the knees.
We are back. Mark Gunger Show. Ross Allen Skorzewski, Diane Briley, and me. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to ask a question because when I hear you saying all this, you know, they've missed this opportunity to have the best sex possible. I don't even think they believe
that.
That's
depressing.
But it's a good statement, but I'm sure a lot of these people would think they've had just mind-blowing, extravagant sex already. Because a lot of these people, I bet you, aren't waiting until they're married to have sex.
Listen, first of all,
and they think that's
and you
good
need
sex.
It to, you need to have the best possible sex ever with your wife, right? That's what studies have said, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean...
I don't know. People are messed up. What can I tell you? You know, what's hard about this is you want to challenge people to change their thinking, but at the same time, you're making a lot of people depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. How do you fix that? So then you got people who, because they don't want to make people feel bad, never challenge people.
So I don't and people to, keep doing the same
then,
stupid.
Then you keep the same stupid.
Yes.
So I'm not trying, all you people who are 35 and still saying, I'm not trying to make you depressed, although you're probably depressed already. You can still have a great life, but for heaven's sakes, quit waiting for such a stinking long time. It gets harder.
Yes,
it doesn't get easier. There's no evidence. I don't know where anybody's got shown any evidence that waiting until you're almost 40 to get married makes it easy. These people have a difficult time, and they have a really hard time connecting. And if you're doing it from a Christian worldview, you're not having sex.
And are there people out there saying that, though, that have gone down this path? Are they saying, no, it's hard. It isn't easy. Are they even speaking into this?
I run into them all the time.
We
get emails from all the time. We've been married for 2 months. We're in hell. I just got an email from somebody. You know, they're 40s, whatever. 2 months. They're in hell. 4 months, they're ready for a divorce. They're looking for divorce papers. How do you get to a divorce in 4 months? These are people, they've waited so long, they can't make the adjustments. The younger you are, the more malleable you are, the more you can build a life together. And let's keep in mind that for thousands of years of human history, people routinely got married before 25. A lot more 21, 22 years of age. A lot of them who built this country got married as late teenagers, including me and my wife. But for the last 25 years, there has been this psycho shift of everybody waiting so long, as if it's some kind of answer. It's not an answer. It creates more problems. Not to mention, from our Christian worldview, you have all the immorality problems. See, it's easy for the world to wait because they're having sex with every person on the...
And they don't think it makes a difference. Married.
It doesn't make any difference.
And
but if a
together.
Christian, you're trying to not have sex, but yet you're waiting as long as the yeah. as a pagan culture. Now everybody's having sex. Now everybody's guilty and having all these struggles. How about we stop acting like this? What are people waiting for? What waiting for a career. What difference does that make? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm waiting for my degree. What difference does that make? Waiting for money. What different? None of it makes any difference. All of that shifts anyway. You think because you have a career now, you're going to have a career in 12 months? You might be totally unemployed.
Right.
Because you have money now. It's money is the most fluid experience in human history. Sometimes you got it, sometimes you don't. You're going to wait until you have money. You as if, once you have it, you're going to have it the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Anybody have money and then not have it again? Lots of people.
Happens. I mean, it's just, especially now.
I just think the problems we have created, the immorality. Let's just forget about the secular culture. They're crazy. I'm talking about in the Christian culture. The Christian church is poisoned today with immorality. It is sucking the life out of us. Why don't we experience more of the power of God? Well, when half the churches are masturbating and fornicating and adulterating, how do you figure the power of God's going to show up? And all of this we've created because people are scared to death to get married.
Well, they don't want
to. And waiting for as long as possible to get married.
They don't want to look at the sexual stuff is what's causing the difficulty in the marriage and leading to the divorces. So they pin it on the job or the money or the career. And I've said this to you before, and I wasn't a Christian when I was married back in my 20s. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't career, it wasn't job, it wasn't money. It was the sexual baggage that I had that led to so much trouble in my earlier life that ruined and ended those marriages. It was not about money or
any of that. Well, those are the studies people don't want to look at. The one fact, people always look at money and career and all this stuff as factors. Mm-hmm. The one factor the world does not tell you about, the single greatest factor that leads to divorce is sexual promiscuity. Mm-hmm. The more likely you are to be, and the younger you are being sexually active, the more chance your divorce rate goes up.
And that's a lot harder to deal with. You can fix career, you can fix money,
you can't put the genie back in the bottle. No. It becomes very problematic. So anyway, I just think people are silly. I don't understand it. This waiting. So this guy's writing us saying, you know, we're late 30s and we're having a hard time connecting. Mm-hmm. Is that normal? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what happens when you.
Yeah.
What? She's 39 or he's 39.
She's 39 and he was 36 when they got married.
Here we are again.
Yeah.
Is this first marriages?
Yes, first marriages for both of them.
You're half dead. I know that sounds really depressing, but I don't know what in the world we can say to people to snap them out of it. Mm-hmm. You don't live to 112. You don't live to 150. You live somewhere around 80. Hopefully God blesses you get to 90s.
Yeah.
But it's not like you got all this energy at 80s.
Oh no, it starts declining real quick.
When you take the energy level, you have already factored out a huge chunk of the most productive energy latent years of your life. I mean, fit 10 years.
Especially for kids and grandkids.
Look, in 10, 20 years into their marriage, they're going to be sitting 60.
Mm-hmm.
You think people are rocking high energy crazy in their 60s? Why people are wasting this great opportunity of life and energy and marriage and families? What's the chance for even having a family at this point?
Right.
It's extremely low. And I know people listen to me get upset and they're upset, but at some point we have to challenge the thinking. It needs to change.
Caution. The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
In the dead of night was the day I started living. And oh, what a life it's been. Day, there's a need for Thanksgiving, and I am ever grateful for now and then, and the rest is yet to come, for the love that started from that tender.
I feel like I should be dancing.
You should.
November.
Twirl.
With
put your tutu on.
Tutu.
Put my tutu on her. Michael O'Brien. Fabulous music. Great musician. Check out his music. MichaelO.org. You're listening to The Mark Unger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails with Ross and Diane.
Kidding. Okay, ready for another dating question.
Sure,
she says, I'm a 20-year-old female from Australia, huge fan of your show and seminars. I recently started dating a 23-year-old guy. We've been on two dates so far, dinner and a movie. And I guess the second one, they went out and grabbed coffee or something together. She says, when should I tell him that I don't intend to have sex before I get married? And how should I tell him?
After you have sex, that's when you should.
She says, it may seem like a stupid thing to be so worried about, but I feel like so many girls these days just hand sex out like candy.
They do, sweetheart.
That waiting until marriage is not considered the norm and is viewed as prudish and frigid by others. Mm-hmm. What do I do when people are so negative and condescending towards my moral decision?
Ignore them, mm-hmm. Number one. Number two, when do you you just tell him. Yeah. Next time you see him. Say, I want to have a talk.
This goes any further.
I want you to know something. I have no intention of having sex.
Or anything
Or anything close to it until after marriage. I hope you're good with that. And if he goes, I absolutely am. You got a good guy. If he goes, oh, come on. Then dump him.
We just talked about this in the other show we did. Say no. And what does it do? It sets the stage for you to have one heck of a guy if he abides by the rules.
Yeah. But not so, if he says, I'm good with that, then tries to get into your pants on the next date. Well, then that's not so good.
I mean, boundaries.
That's right.
No, that's good. Good for you, dear. I like that girl.
Absolutely.
God bless her. I don't know when the show will air, but we are coming to Australia.
You are?
In May. End of June. May of 2013, these shows aired all kinds of different times and reruns and much later. But if she's hearing this before then, she probably will. First time this will air will be before that.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming to Australia. Check it out on our website and you'll be able to see where we're coming to.
Okay, another dating question, and similar actually, but it's from the male perspective. He says, Dear Mr. Gunger, I have a concern. I'm 20 years old. And I've been very interested in finding a wife. Maybe we should get these two together. However, to be honest, I'm concerned that I'll actually marry a woman who's remained pure. I know you talk about how sex outside marriage can impact people and the baggage from that can carry into the marriage. This concerns me with the way the world behaves sexually today. Indeed, I think we should get these two together. They're probably not on the same continent, though. I have every intention of waiting till my wedding night. He's 20.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like shows,
uh-huh.
Hook him up, man.
That's right. He wants to wait till his wedding night, but how can I be sure that my wife-to-be would have waited as well, considering the moral state of our world today? I want to marry someone who's waited. Some people have told me to lower my standards and not to worry about it, that everything will be fine. That's not true. But I want to marry a woman who hasn't been passed around town. Any advice or encouragement for me?
And he's a Christian guy. I mean, I would just think in the church. Go to a church where girls have raised up in the church and they haven't. He's only 20.
Yes.
I mean, even in the secular world, not everybody who's 20 has had sex.
Right. The majority have, but not everybody.
Well, even then, it's the halfway mark. I mean, as they grow older, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. So, I mean, and in the Christian world, this should not be a hard thing.
If he was writing
at 49,
he's 20.
Yeah, lots of luck with that. But at 20, dude, you should have no problem finding a girl who's been pure.
But have the conversations.
Yeah, just tell them. Mm-hmm. You know, and have you meet a girl and you're starting to date with her and just say, you know, I don't know how you bring that up initially, but at some point you need to have that conversation that I'm looking for someone that's still a virgin. I'm looking to marry a virgin. Very simple.
Yeah.
Or get on one of these Christian websites, you know, and you just say it right up front as a filter. I'm looking for a virgin. You're not a virgin.
Oh my goodness.
No need to apply.
Question. Here it goes. Now, for me, that question was brought to the table, but it was not brought to the table right away. It was after we had, you know, definitely established the fact that, you know, we are interested in doing life together. She had feelings for, I had feelings for her. And so then it was like months into a relationship. And then she asked me, you know, have you been with other people? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was faced with the interesting scenario of am I going to be honest or am I going to evade this and lie? I think to me, I don't know what would have happened, let's say, because, you know, she was already emotionally bought in. And if I would have told her and she would have said no, that pursuing me was no longer a viable option. Don't you think something like this should maybe be in the front?
I agree, absolutely.
So you don't have this emotional connection. Find this stuff out right away, because once you're emotionally connected, like for this guy, if that's really a standard that matters for him, don't be doing a relationship and getting all emotionally connected with somebody for months and then pop it. Because then what if that standard is something that matters to you and now you're faced with, I like
her a deal breaker?
Lot. But
if it's a deal breaker for you. And let me do say this. For all those who are not virgins out there, you can marry someone who's not a virgin and still have a wonderful life with them. But if this is a major thing to you where you don't want to marry a woman who's been with any other man, and that's fair, he can ask for what he wants, then just be clear about it up front. That's
up
all
front.
You gotta do.
Up front. Absolutely. Yeah.
Before the emotions get all attached.
Yes. Okay.
I agree with that.
I'm just curious because, man, it'd have been a hard place to be at. All of a sudden, after all this time and energy of dating, no more.
Yeah.
That'd have been hard.
Yeah, I think it's an upfront, especially if it's that important to you.
Yes.
It's an upfront conversation.
All right.
Okay, we'll see how mad.
We got an irritating one? Well, let's take a break first.
Okay. If I'm going to get you ramped up, you need to take a break and take a deep breath.
Let me take my medication and do my relaxing exercises and stuff. And then we'll come back and see what irritating email she has for me right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
Gunger Show, Diane Brierley, Ross Korzewski, answering your emails. All right.
Okay, ready for this one?
Okay, what do you got?
She says, my fiance and I have become fans when we were doing sound and AV for one of your Laugh Your Way events that our church offered. Mm-hmm. We both are divorced, coming from some not so nice people, apparently they're exes. My question is this, he and I had an almost 3-year long distance relationship, then they moved close by, so they've been together 5 years total. The last 2 years, they've lived together. She says, we're going to be married in September. We see ourselves as married already. Mm-hmm. Already telling God our commitment to each other, but a few zealots in our church say that we are going to burn in hell. I have even received a few private number calls of a mean nature about my spiritual worth. You can probably guess what I was called. So, are we wrong living together and believing we are married before we say I do in the church?
Yes, you're wrong, okay? And you can use all the nasty words. You can call them zealots and everything else. I'm sure not. And some people can be really mean-spirited. People tend to exaggerate stuff like that. The truth of the matter, from a biblical standard, you say you're a Christian. That means you live by a biblical standard. You don't like it? Then become a Buddhist or something else like that. All right? You claim to be a Christian, and then you get mad when Christians hold you up to a Christian standard. These people are full of it. I don't get these people.
She says
you should not be having sex with somebody you're not married to, straight up.
Nor should you be living with them.
So you've been fornicating. You're a fornicator. That's what you are. You're a fornicator. At least admit it. Then ask God. God, forgive me for being a fornicator.
I like that. Because if she has no problem calling us religious zealots, well, then let's just call
call her a fornicator.
She's a fornicator. I'm sure the word she probably was implying was slut.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm sure.
You know, it's like this lady who writes us, I got a 17-year-old son, and the guy I'm dating is not wanting to connect with him and complain about him. Well, she's a slutty mom for having sex. Well, she's out there having sex with these guys. Good Lord, I can't imagine being 17 and my mom going around having sex with men, claiming to be in the church. People have lost their minds. I'm telling you. I'm going to use this analogy again. I beat it to death, but it's the only thing I found that snaps people out of it. Change the rule. Change the commandment. You silly girl. Listen to me. Change it. Let's use something different. My boyfriend and I are killing people. We don't kill bad people. Just bad people, and we bury them deep in the backyard so the neighbors can't smell them, you know. But we really love Jesus, and we got religious zealots criticizing us for killing people. Well, you'd think they were insane.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, Pastor, that's pretty extreme. Okay, Trey, something else so extreme. Lying. My boyfriend and I, we go to old people's house and tell them they won the lottery, and we get all dressed up like official people, and we'd walk out and just laugh because they get all excited, and it's going to be so funny when they... But we really love Jesus.
Yeah.
You would think, that's terrible.
That's so awful.
That's a horrible thing for you to do. You're lying. Well, girl, you're screwing a guy. It's way worse than lying. You're a fornicator. You know, we my boyfriend and I, we really love Jesus, but we break into people's house and steal stuff. Well, you'd be mortified. And here's the thing. In the Christian community today, when you get to sex, nobody cares anymore.
So you think people are being petty about this?
It's not petty. The Bible is
being petty.
No, it's very clear. You don't have sex with somebody you're not married to. Very simple. Very simple. You are violating God's command. It doesn't mean I hate you. Stop. Stop. You say you get married, move out, quit having sex with each other.
Well, we can't, you know.
She did say that they would have been married by now, except her divorce wasn't final yet, so they couldn't until they got the court date.
So you're having sex with some guy, and you're still married to somebody else.
She's
a very bad man.
That doesn't make you a fornicator. It makes you an adulterer. Seriously.
So they've been
and then
waiting.
She's pointing, people say bad things about it. Well, it's because you're acting badly.
Okay.
You know, it's like someone who never showers. Everybody says, I stink. They're so critical. You do stink. You don't bathe. It's not judging to call someone smelly. That's smelly. You are an adulterating, fornicating woman who claims to be a good, committed Christian. You're living in sin. Yeah. And I'm not going to back off that. It's terrible. He says I'm a sin. Yes, what you're doing is wrong. From any any objective Christian perspective, what you're doing is wrong. And here's the deal. It's not like you can't marry this guy and start doing it right, but just stop doing what's wrong.
Yeah. We just need to wait until you can do it the right way.
I wasn't divorced yet. So.
Well, apparently there's a loophole or something, and she found out it wasn't legal, and they had to refile. But even if you're not an adulterator, you're still a fornicator.
Adulterator.
Adult.
We'll be back.
Okay.
So I am the adulterator. I'm the fornicator.
I have to tell you.
I will fornicate, and then I'll be back.
I couldn't resist. I couldn't behave myself. I had to ask her. Does your pastor know about the situation?
Oh,
I had to know.
And
she said, as for our pastor,
no.
He knows how we feel and believe. He pretty much believes we are married. He has seen the commitment we have for each other.
Then your pastor's a nitwit.
I had to know. You know, the work in AV involved in
the church. Let's face it, we just lost one listener to this show.
We did. Click, there goes the off button.
You know, people listen to me, and I'm very funny, and our seminars are funny, and they think, because I'm funny, anything goes. No, it doesn't go.
Not.
There's right and wrong. Listen, dear, there's right and wrong. Is there no right and wrong? Does she have no right and wrong in her head? There's right and wrong. What you're doing is wrong. Nobody hates you. I don't hate you. I'm not willing to send you off to hell, but what you're doing is wrong. How about you stop? You're going to get married in September. You can't wait and not have sex for a few months. Here's the thing. You guys, you don't know how to say no before you get married, and then you don't know how to say no after you get married. These are the people who wind up cheating on their husbands. The husband's cheating on their wives later. Oh, I don't know why. Because you've never learned to say no to your sex drive. And even if you do, what you're doing is wrong. It's wrong. I don't care if your pastor says it's okay. He's wrong. Jesus said, you shouldn't even look at a woman lustfully. And think about it. But these people are having sex.
Beyond that, isn't it?
Paul said an unmarried man shouldn't even touch a woman. Apparently, Jesus and Paul were idiots, and your pastor's a lot smarter. Wow. Must be great to have such an incredible pastor.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing is wrong. Stop. Just stop. Anyway, I don't want to talk about her anymore. People. And we claim to be Christians.
Right.
Again, change the commandment to anything else.
I know.
People would be mortified if you just said, if we went into old people's homes and told them we were the one that left. And what is that? Oh. That's just being mean.
Yeah.
Okay?
But they would be horrified by that.
People would be horrified by that.
They would.
If you said, me and my boyfriend are lying, we're stealing, we're cheating, we're killing people. No, but if me and my boyfriend are having sex, everybody goes, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's how corrupt we've become in the church.
They don't think that there's anything wrong with it.
Even pastors now say, oh, that's okay.
They don't.
There is no morality anymore. The sexual revolution that has been thrust on Western culture has been so successful that even Christians now don't think having sex out of marriage is wrong.
Right.
That's really sad. All right, let's take our final break, and we'll be back right after this.
want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
We are back on the Mark Gunger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Just going off on this lady writing us saying, you know, we're fornicating, but, you know, people are saying bad things about us. Well, it's because you're doing bad things. Now, here's a lady who, you just said this during the break. Here's a lady who has no sense that fornicating is wrong, but she knows that someone saying something bad about her is wrong.
Is wrong.
Yeah.
Like, they're so wrong for saying bad things about me.
She has that filter.
Yeah. But doesn't understand the right and wrong.
And that's okay. They shouldn't be saying bad. No, they shouldn't. And who knows if
she can pick that one up.
Yeah, she can pick up that people shouldn't say bad things. She can pick up that her ex-husband did bad things.
Yeah, but
she can't pick up that she's doing bad things. Mm-hmm. It's just that they're very convenient, you know, with their filters.
Yeah.
Listen to me, all you guys. This is very clear. Sex with someone you're not married to is sin. Period. Sex with someone you're not married to is sin, period. Period. In every case. Okay? Why that is so difficult to reach that point, I don't understand. And it's not like God's saying you can't have sex.
Right. Just marry on his terms.
Do it right.
Do it right.
Exactly.
These people are like, it's like saying, you know, stealing food is wrong. Well, then I can never eat. No one said you can't eat.
Just go buy it.
Go buy it. Get it the right way. Mm-hmm. But you would think we're telling people they got to starve to death. You're so evil. We're all going to starve. You said we can't. No one said you can't eat. What we're saying is don't steal the food.
Yeah.
No one's saying you can't have sex with this guy.
Yeah.
No one's saying you can't have sex with this girl that you like. No one's saying any of that. Well, if it's adultery, obviously you can't. There's no way of making that right. But in a fornicating sense, there's no reason to fornicate. I get adultery. I get that. You're with someone, you're not married to them. There's no way to make that
right. But you can't make that right.
You can't make
under
that.
Any
it's just,
circumstance.
It's just straight up sin, okay? And that's frustrating. But I want to be with, okay, I understand the frustration of that. Even homosexual, I can cut them slack on that. Mm-hmm. They want to be with someone of the same sex, even though the Bible says it's wrong with them. They want it. There's no way to fix that, okay? And you can, if there's compassion, at least you'd have it there.
Yeah.
But fornicating, there's no reason for it.
Because you can make that right. You can do that one.
You can
the
always
right way.
Do that right.
Yeah.
Just get married.
Homosexuals, you can't. Adultery, you can't.
Having sex with chickens and frogs, you can't. Okay, it's all kinds of things. There's no way to make. But fornicating, there's no reason for it. You single people out there, this lady and this boyfriend who loved Jesus did the sound of my seminar. There's no reason for that. Just get married and do it right. I don't understand it.
I don't.
Oh, you're hateful. You're hateful. No, you can have sex. Just get married first.
Well, and the fact of the matter is they don't answer to you about this anyway. They can be mad and think you're judging them and that you're mean, but
you can answer to
it
God.
It doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what God thinks, and they will have to answer for that one day.
And don't you think this pastor's going to have to answer for
they
this
They think
too?
God doesn't care.
Because they love each other, and they see themselves married in his eyes.
And they don't read the Bible. They don't know the truth of God. And this pastor
doesn't
helpful.
Either.
Yeah. Obviously, he's clueless.
Well, you're right, Ross. He's going to
be held accountable for this.
I know. It is what it is. Mm-mm. That's why the church is such a mess today. That's why we're such a mess today. We are corrupted. We are destroying ourselves. And again, I can have more compassion to an adulterer who wants to be with someone that they shouldn't be. There's no way to fix that. The only way to fix that is you just break your heart, rip apart from that person. There's no way to fix it. To someone who is gay, who wants to be with someone from a bit, there's no way to fix that. But I love them. I know, but sweetheart, you can't do anything about
there's
it.
There's no way to legitimize it.
There's no way to legitimize it. Not in God's sight.
Mm-mm. That's where your whole statement of, you know, human love.
Oh yeah, well, you
does
yeah,
not
yeah,
ever.
Doesn't, yeah, human love doesn't change anything.
It
doesn't change God's standard. But when people fornicate, when Christians fornicate, there's no reason for it. We want to have sex. Okay, get married. Mm-hmm. And that I don't understand. I don't know. People, they have no morality. Sex is never wrong under any circumstance today.
Right.
Even to pastors, sex is never wrong. Lying, stealing, all the other examples, that's wrong.
Yeah.
But when it comes to sex, apparently sex is no longer a sin. God just hasn't gotten the memo yet.
It's the big exclusion to those commands.
We need to go rewrite the Bible. Yeah. Let's all rewrite the Bible. You pastors and stuff out there and people like this lady, let's come out with a new version of the Bible, take out all the sexual sin. Because apparently God is not aware of the fact that in 2013, sex is not a sin anymore if you love each other.
As long as you love
each other. Of course, everybody
Love each other. Right?
Because we're having sex. You want to have sex with someone you love, right?
Mm-hmm.
So because we need to just change the Bible. Apparently, God just hasn't got the memo. God must be embarrassed. I mean, he's up in heaven going, oh my gosh, I missed it.
I missed that memo.
I thought it was a sin. You know, apparently, people in the 21st century are smarter than I am now. I guess I wish I was as smart as people. And apparently, it's not a sin anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you run with that one. See how that works out for you. It's wrong. What you're doing is wrong. The thing is, it's so easy to make it right. Again, the fornicating, I don't get it. Look, I get wanting to sin sexually. Everybody's tempted. I get it. But what bothers me is people do it today and it's not wrong.
Yeah.
What's wrong for in her mind is someone else is telling her it's wrong. That's what's wrong.
Yeah, they're being mean to me.
The fact of having sex with someone I'm married to, that's not wrong. Those people out there are wronging. Oh, good grief. All right, see ya.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.